Of course. How could I have been so stupid?
Oh, the happy, unquestioning life of an abelian Euclidean Hausdorff peasant. Can Janet poor space be non-isotropic? Could distance in one direction differ from distance in another? It's always faster coming home, but how? How? His voice shattered her reverie once more. Ox carts or automobiles. So, the map is always in transition from one equilibrium to another. Now, watch. If she didn't hold his hand while he complained, she would never get her own work done. Watch what? She asked, perhaps in a harsher voice than she had intended, because he cast her a wounded glance before bending again over the keyboard. While he did, she slipped across the room and retrieved her notebook so she could capture her butterfly thought. Kristaller's original survey, said Tom, who had not noticed her sortie. Land Württemberg, 19th century. Sharon spared the screen a cursory glance. All right. Then almost against her will, she leaned toward the computer. Another honeycomb, she said. Is that a common pattern? He didn't answer. Instead, he showed her a series of maps. Johnson's study of late Uruk settlements around Huarca. Alden's reconstruction of Toltec politics in the Valley of Mexico. Skinner's analysis of Sichuan villages. Smith's anomalous study of western Guatemala that found two grids, Indio and Ladino, superimposed on each other like parallel universes. Now, check out this map. Verified sites of ancient Sumerian and Elamite pueblos. To her own annoyance, she found herself intrigued. One such map might be an oddity, two or three a coincidence, but not this many. Why is that dot red? She asked. Tom regarded the screen with indulgence. My claim to fame. There was no known pueblo at that site, but ancient writings are full of references to places we've never pinned down, so I send old Hotchkiss an email, telling him to move his dig. That made him mad. He's an old-school micro-historian. But what really ticked him off was when he finally found the ruins 2 years later, right where I'd told him they would be. So his patterns had predictive value, too. Patterns were interesting. They could lead, like astrology, to real science. Well, there has to be a cause, she said. He gave her a satisfied nod. Ochenhorsho. Okay, I'll bite. What is it? He tapped a fingernail against the display. Each locus provides some degree of biopsychological reinforcement to its inhabitants. Rich bottomlands, a vein of silver, a plentiful supply of guano, anything. Andere Lande, andere Sitten. The intensity of that reinforcement defines a potential function over the landscape, and the gradient of that potential is a force we call affinity. Sharon withheld comment. She had never considered Tom's forces of history as anything more than a metaphor. She was a physicist, and physicists dealt in real forces. If affinity were the only force, Tom continued, the entire population would be sucked into the local maximum. But population density itself creates a second potential because, certis paribus, people prefer wide open spaces to getting someone's elbow in their ear. So, there's a counter tendency for the population to spread out evenly across the landscape in a kind of cultural heat death. The interaction between these two forces generates the differential equations for a reaction diffusion process. Population accumulates at the equilibrium sites, with settlement sizes distributed according to Zipf's rank size law. Each settlement generates a cultural potential field whose strength is proportional to its wealth and population, and which diminishes with the square of the distance. Geographically, these settlements and their hinterlands form hexagonal patterns called Kristaller grids.
Et nagi kisesune. Et ikio schworen ua. She answered.
Sharon wasn't entirely convinced, but if she argued the point, they'd be up all night, settle nothing, and she'd never get back to Janetpore's space. Besides, the model did account for that remarkable consistency of settlement patterns. She pursed her lips. If she wasn't careful, she'd get sucked into solving his problem instead of her own. So, Where does this Eiffelheim of yours fit in? Tom flipped his hands up. It doesn't. He called another map onto the screen. Here's the Black Forest. Notice anything odd? After all those maps, the empty cell fairly jumped out at her. Sharon touched the screen, her finger dancing from village to village. Barenthal, Oberaid, Hinterzarten, St. Wilhelm. The roads all twisted around the blank spot, some doubling back on themselves to avoid it. She frowned. Tom was right. There should be a village there. That, he announced sourly, is Eiffelheim. The little town that wasn't there, she murmured. But how can a town that isn't there have a name?
The same way that an Elamite Pueblo had a name. Enough references in various sources to triangulate its location. Atanditz. Another command entered.
The same region in the early Middle Ages reconstructed from Landsat photos. He cocked his head. C'est drôle, ma chérie. Up close, you wouldn't see a damn thing, yet from miles above, the ghosts of vanished villages stand out clearly. He looked at the screen and pointed. There's Eiffelheim. The little dot stared back at her from the previously empty hex. Then, I don't get it, you've discovered another lost city, like in Sumeria. But Tom shook his head. No, he said sadly, gazing at the screen. Settlements are abandoned because their affinity drops, or technology changes the effective distances, the silver mines play out, or an interstate runs through. That's not the case here. Affinity should have caused a successor village to coalesce within a generation, somewhere inside that hex.
Look at the way Baghdad followed Seleucia, Babylon, and Akkad in the same hex in Mesopotamia.
Do your satellite photos tell when this Eiffelheim disappeared? Based on the pattern of stripping, the furlongs, I guess late Middle Ages, probably during the Black Death, land usage patterns changed after that. Weren't a lot of places depopulated then? I read somewhere that a third of Europe died. She actually thought she had explained something. She actually thought she had seen something that Tom had overlooked. No field of knowledge is so transparently simple as another's. Tom was deaf to her triumph. Yeah, he said offhandedly. And the Middle East, too. Ibn Khaldun wrote... Well, it took 200 years for the population to rebound to medieval levels, but every other abandoned village was eventually either reoccupied or replaced by a new settlement nearby. Voce accredita agora. People lived there for over 400 years, and then no one ever lived there again. She shivered. The way he said it, it did sound unnatural. The place became taboo. He continued. In 1702, Marshal Villars refused to march his army past the place to join his Bavarian allies. Tom opened a slim manila folder on his desk and read from a sheet of paper. This is what he wrote to the elector. Cette vallée de Neustadt que vous me proposez, c'est le chemin qu'on appelle le Val d'Enfer. Que votre assesse me pardonne l'expression, je ne suis pas diable pour y passer. This was the route he rejected, up the Hollenthal, Hell Valley. His finger traced a path on the map screen, running northeast from Falkenstein, past Eiffelheim, below the Feldberg. There wasn't even a road through that tanglewood until the Austrians built one in 1770, so Marie Antoinette could travel to France in comfort, which also turned out to be a bad idea. Even after the road was put in, it was a bad place to travel through. Moreau's retreat down the valley was such a feat that when he finally reached the lower end, he was nearly hailed a victor. And here, he rummaged again in his folder, I have a copy of a letter from an English traveler named Hughes, who writes in 1900, I pressed on to Himmelreich, lest darkness catch me on the malign ground of Eiffelheim. He's being a little tongue-in-cheek, a snooty Edwardian Englishman winking at quaint German folktales. But you notice, he didn't stay the night. And Anton Zengler, you remember Anton. He sent me a newspaper clipping that... here, read it yourself. He handed her the manila folder. Go ahead, it's right on top. If a cosmologist learned anything, it was that the shortest route was not always a straight line. Opening the folder, Sharon found a clipping from the Freiburger Wochenbericht with an English translation stapled to it. Dracula cult finds new grave. Freiburg. Although officials discount it as superstition, some U.S. soldiers on maneuvers here believe they have found the tomb of Count Dracula, hundreds of miles from Transylvania. A spokesperson for the U.S. 3rd Infantry Division acknowledged that something between a cult and a fad had emerged among the soldiers over an obscure medieval headstone decorated with the carving of a demonic face.